back, Commander, did you call on me for a specific reason?
I thought you were full of information.
Oh, Lord. If only any of it were useful. I would have picked the lottery numbers by now. In the earthquake, let me back up a little bit. It's been 2 weeks since we've had a meeting. Remember the last time we were talking, I mentioned that Art Bell had interviewed Edgar Mitchell on his Friday night show 2 weeks ago, and that interview with Apollo 14 astronaut Ed Mitchell was kind of like, in one way, like flat root beer, because he denied so many things that we know happened in the space program. What was most interesting, though, and God bless her, every once in a while it happens, on Sunday night's Dreamland show, right after Art interviewed him on Friday night, he always opens up his Dreamland show with a brief segment, sometimes it seems awfully too long to me, by Linda Howell, who is a reporter, and she is on by phone from wherever she is in the world investigating cattle mutilations and related stuff. And usually that's what she's talking about, having interviewed this farmer or that scientist, or, you know, it's pretty disheartening. But that particular Sunday, of all things, she had just interviewed Edgar Mitchell, the same Edgar Mitchell that Art Bell interviewed Friday night, only she interviewed him a few days earlier. And over the phone connection, she plays back her interview with Edgar Mitchell. And her interview with Edgar Mitchell, he contradicted everything he said on Art Bell's show Friday night. So we had Art Bell's national audience acting as jury with completely contradictory information from the same Edgar Mitchell on two different days within the same week. So that said more than we could ever say in any article.
Misinformation spin. What about Jerry Parnell's interview?
Let's not get into any of that.
And that.
No, we're not going to get into that. We're going to march a straight course here. Okay, next thing is the earthquake activity is at the same level it has been at. There is an increase in the Indian Ocean. If you remember some of Gordon Michael Scallion's comments from a long time ago, he said, watch the Indian Ocean. And the reason is, if you back up and look at the plate structure, well, one of the reasons, I'm just corrected, is if you back up and look at the plate structures, as activity occurs in the Indian Ocean, it allows a little more motion of the big Pacific plate in that direction.
Thank you, Ed. This is tape number 3. Go ahead.
As activity and loosening and motion occurs in the Indian Ocean area, there's also more opportunity for motion of the Pacific plate. As you know, the plates are all gears, intermeshed and intermingling. And as a result of this new activity occurring in the Indian Ocean, you can use that as a timing. Now, Gordon Michael Scallion, his information was along the lines of, when you see a large quake in the Indian Ocean, these have been fives and sixes. When you see a large quake, those used to be large quakes, but not anymore. Anymore, the eights and nines are being called moderate in some bold media outlays. Anyway, when a large quake occurs in the Indian Ocean is when timing is, according to Scallion's work or his visions, when timing is imminent for the west coast of the United States. It would not just be for that, because we would now be talking about motion of the entire Pacific plate. So if you do look at the motion around the edge of the Pacific plate, volcanic activity has increased, continues to increase, around the whole periphery, and the area from Japan, if you think of the Pacific plate as a clock face, the area from about 10 o'clock, which would be Japan, down through Indonesia, which would be about 6 o'clock, 6:30, that whole area is extremely active. The trouble is, it's become normal. That level of activity has become normal. So when I say there has not been a change in the activity level, I mean that level of activity, though a year ago, that level of activity would be considered extraordinary. We're now kind of bored with its quote-unquote normalcy. Well, not bored, but astounded that nothing larger has happened with all that activity. And South America is very active with volcanic eruptions and earthquake activity on up through Mexico. As I think some of you heard on the news, there was very brief mention of a quake this past week in Acapulco, or near Acapulco. And they called it a 4.4, but when they talked about the amount of damage that was done, it was probably a 4.4 on the Kmart scale, because it was quite damaging. But again, with the quality of construction, it's hard to tell. But it was probably probably more like a 6 or a 7. And what is changing in a number of these quakes is the duration of the quake. Let's take the one up in Oregon, in Washington a week or so ago. As far away as Vancouver, British Columbia, people were calling Art Bell Show that evening, later that evening, of the quake near Seattle, and said that their animals were going crazy a good hour or two before the quake. And others were calling, saying that there were light flashes and explosions top of the area. So we have that as a way to refresh you, as I hear Antonio saying at the moment, that remember, it's very hard to distinguish natural quakes now from unnatural ones because so much of the intertwining is in motion. If you have a little dynamite going off on a hillside and then a little later it just falls down on its own, well, was that due to the dynamite or due to the shaking of a truck going by on the road up above? Well, it's pretty hard to untangle them at that point. Now, so that's the situation with earthquakes. Nothing has changed, but it's still at an alarmingly high level. But you can't be afraid of these things. A good personal example would have been this past Thursday. Several of us had to go into Los Angeles, a certain area of the San Fernando Valley, for an errand. And at first I was concerned about this, but the protection was around. You could see it and feel it. And that evening I pulled the earthquake information for Los Angeles up on the screen, on the computer screen. And lo and behold, the area of the San Fernando Valley that I was in was quake-free, however, for that entire day, which is very extraordinary for that area, which is quite active right now. This is what's happening in the Northridge area in the San Fernando Valley. The quake activity is not just there, but it's creeping up over the hill into those Santa Susana Mountains, and it's becoming quite active. That area was absolutely quiet, and yet a fault the commander has told us to watch very carefully. Commander Hatton has told us to watch very carefully the Elysian Park fault, which runs roughly from the Hollywood area down through Huntington Beach and Long Beach area. That particular fault was just absolutely bombarded with quakes at the Hollywood end, the end closest to where we were. All was fine, but it just shows you what is going on right under our feet. Now, Commander mentioned China, and Paul, a local participant in our group here, Paul just gave me a couple hours ago a very interesting article, and I don't want to share the entire thing with you, and I would first, it has to do with China and a recent quake in China, and it is by somebody called, and I'll just, here's what it says, Zoosh, Z-O-O-S-H, who is let's just call it an energy being received through somebody by the name of Robert Shapiro. And Robert Shapiro don't laugh, Paul. This is serious business. we'll just wait and see. And this is from the... you have to evaluate the data.
Oh, I'm not criticizing. I'm just laughing at the name, that's all.
Well, I'll ask Commander about it. We'll see if...
He's laughing about Shapiro.
Simpson's
lawyer.
Okay, this is through... I see. That's how much I care about the O.J. Simpson trial. I lost the connection. This is from the Sedona Journal of Emergence for May of 96. And if you would like, Commander, I would share with them what I heard, who Zush was, or I will leave it alone.
No, that's fine. You people have to start discerning your messengers.
Right. That's right. The quality of the quality of what I read so far on just this page, which I will share with you, was extraordinary enough that I asked who Zush was. Now let's look at this. This is where clues will be contained too. We have Z-O-O-S-H as a name of this entity. Now turn it backwards. H-S-O-O-Z. Now that's a phonetic spelling. Who is that?
Of Jesus.
Jesus. Who are we dealing with here? And it only takes the gleaning of the quality of the information of the page I read that is what got my curiosity up. There will always be a name. There will always be an identification, even if you have to work a little bit at it. That just adds fun to it. So let me read this. This is very important, and it has to do with China. As Commander said, China is very important to watch. And we all know how the New World Order forces are trying to collapse China or trying to interfere with China's autonomy. So this starts out with, okay, can we talk about the earthquake in China? This trembler in China was largely what I would call an experiment. As so often is the case with ruthless individuals, if they can utilize a weapon, they will. This particular weapon utilizes technology that has sprung from a facet of the HAARP program. The high-frequency pulses are focused through an ultrasonic shield, then literally fired into a very large cut crystal. It is not a natural crystal, but cut, and it's about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. No offense intended. It can be aimed with a specific accuracy to pass through the earth to the other side. Now, many of you who are familiar with Edgar Cayce's work remember the Atlantean work with crystals and how parts of the destruction of Atlantis were sped up greatly by the use of misuse of crystal beam technology. Back to the writing here. The weapon, located in an underground tunnel, we know they're all over the place, about 6 or 7 miles deep, was roughly on the other side of the world from China. It is insidious, aside from the obvious ruthlessness, because stone naturally amplifies sound, and it continues to intensify the farther it goes. The weapon was expected to produce an earthquake or a fracture of the surface of the earth with an intensity of about 7.1 to 7.6. It was aimed at an area in China because China is particularly uncooperative with the sinister secret government. They are perhaps the last holdout in terms of large countries with large populations of absolute resistance to the sinister secret government. In some ways, China has to go along with them, but not any more than they absolutely have to. This earthquake was by way of saying, since you guys aren't playing with us, we'll mess with you. And they also wanted to try out the weapon system to see what it would do. They were not aiming for a populated area. I'm not trying to give the secret sinister government any heart, but they were trying to create a demonstration, a threat. But the nature of stone being what it is, sometimes dense, sometimes porous, the sound field was deflected, and the earthquake occurred near an area of significant population. I won't say where. And because of the multiplier effect, the intensity exceeded what was expected and was between 9.6 and 10.1 as measured by different devices. Now, that's a factor of 1,000.
Now, let me stop you. That area that he is talking about is the very area where you were dickering with. This was back in the early days of your shuttle program, and you were trying to get pictures of Russia, and you were dickering with some of the Chinese in one of their provinces to have a base, a major base. At the same time, or about the same period of time, there was an earthquake there, and it took out over 10,000 of their troops that were underground, armed soldiers. So what he is saying is absolutely valid as far as technology. The second thing I want to mention here is that it is ongoing. They have higher capability now. You don't get the same amount of deflection, but you have such growth or building, and you don't have capacitors. If they dink with this and they get it pumping out as it's capable of doing, to the point that you're going to have a reaction much like you had at Lawrence Livermore Lab as a test, and it's going to be 1,000 times bigger. And there will be no way to get it under control. Your alien brothers had to get that under control at Lawrence Livermore Lab, and that was since you've been in Tehachapi. John, you were moving. You will remember this. Dr. Young will remember it because he was there or in that area.
Yes.
It just took out those capacitors, and I mean it was going to fry the Western United States. And that's what your danger is. You are playing with toys you can't stop. So what he is saying is very, very valid. And you better be checking the direct opposite of where on the other side you're going to find exactly straight across are you going to find places like Area 51 and places in Colorado. The crystal here is for navigation and communications. But you wouldn't think it, would you, from what all goes on over at Edwards. And that's going to come to the surface out of that pile of frozen entropy. So please go on.
Okay, I'll back up one sentence. And because of the multiplier effect, the intensity exceeded what was expected and was between 9.6 and 10.1 as measured by different devices. Then a question comes in, why can't you say where? Wasn't that in the news? Well, let's just say this. China is not exactly forthcoming about its internal affairs, and I see no reason that I should be any more forthcoming without their permission. They'll tell about it when they're ready, but they do not wish to have the complication in their eyes of the rest of the world rushing to aid them and pouring potential spies into their country, as they would perceive it, when they've already got enough trouble. That's why they prefer to resolve their own problems and maintain a careful hand on the pulse of people traveling through their country. Question, are we talking about a large loss of life? Yes, we're talking about a significant loss of life that I would guess would be somewhere at this time in the neighborhood of 27,000. And loss of property, I mean a city? Well, significant. It was the outskirts. It was not a densely populated area. Allowing for the area of the quake, if it had been densely populated, there could have been a loss of life in the neighborhood of 100,000 or more. But because it wasn't, and because there's been a significant attempt to create some kind of earthquake safety there, the loss of life was significantly less. In any event, this was not a natural quake. It was the sinister secret government at work. Is this technology movable? Yes, it's on tracks. It's so heavy that it doesn't function well. Because it's crystal, they don't want it to vibrate very much, so it moves around on steel tracks. And I'm going to stop this there. It goes on for several pages. The main point being the use of a technology like this. We could call it a scalar-based technology to excite vibrations in the ground large distances away. And who is using it and for what purposes of a political nature. And the seriousness because of the ramifications of that, even the quakes over there, all the way over here and on our plates and our activity. Now, there's two other things. One should be brought to your attention. I was just told that it turns out, finally, apparently the debate of the century is going to occur late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning on Art Bell's show. Debate between Richard Hoagland, who says all kinds of hanky-panky has gone on, and astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who claims nothing went on, I didn't see a thing. And that's going to occur at 1 a.m. Wednesday morning.
You gonna tape that?
We'll see. I'll try. And it was a reluctant debate, but this you could call this late Tuesday night because it's his Tuesday night show, which will occur on West Coast time from 11 p.m. till 4 a.m. So it'll be 1 o'clock into Wednesday morning, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, when this quote-unquote debate of the century occurs. So, yes, I'll see if I can tape it. And then the other thing...
Well, I think that's exaggerating just
a bit. Well, after all, Art's main purpose is ratings. So if we keep that in mind, then it all falls into place. And the only other thing I would like to say, mostly to Tape Land and for the mothers here, on behalf of the contact, I'd like to wish all the mothers here and mothers who are worrying about kids at a distance, as all mothers worry. Mine called today to worry about my brother because he could have been on the plane that crashed coming up from Florida. Anyway,
now, isn't that an interesting little thing he just said?
Yes, I know. All of the mothers I'd like, on behalf of Contact, wish them a very happy Mother's Day. And particularly to Doris, I would like to thank her for the strawberry addition to our cake today because they're very fresh. They were just gotten this morning and cut up, two big bowls, so we could have fresh, juicy strawberries with our cake today.
It beat having to make lemon pie, she said. For Ed.
Well, we'll be doing more of that later from the lemons.
Don't you dare sit down. Tonyos is kicking your ass, fellow. Listen to him. 29 palms is sinking. It was not enough that I told Mr. Horney, better watch out, L.A. is sinking. And it came out the very next day on the news. Well, he doesn't know what he thinks of me. He just looks at her and says, which one of you speaking? You're going to have a collapse of some of L.A. into those tunnels. It's already sinking. And now they're talking about it, some of the freeways. Man, well, that's metro rail. Yes, it is. The entire freeway network from the weight of that city is sinking. Scientists know it. Now, a lot of major, major activity has taken place in that triangle around Palm Springs. That was the expected, the devastating disaster to happen. So a lot of shoring up took place. There are a lot of underground installations in that area that they don't want damaged. They've tried to cut faults that will shave off some of those underground facilities. You will see a major evidence of that along this Garlock Fault, and then as it cuts across toward Utah, in that direction I'm talking about, so that when you get the splits, you aren't going to totally devastate those tunnels underground. Remember, you've got one now finished to China Lake from Long Beach that will float submarines. So you've got big tunnel works under there. And you've got somewhere between 60 and 80 levels under China Lake. You've got 40-some-odd levels under Northrop and Edwards and a whole tunnel network between those two facilities. So you have a lot of things that are going to be hurt, going to be terribly damaged. You wonder about a little town like this. Well, where do the people come from? What do they do? Because they're closing down this, they're closing down that, and yet things remain pretty turned over, but in a way quite stable. You have a lot of people spending most of their time in those tunnels, and yet they go berserk if they're locked down there too long. So they're really basically living between two levels or two dimensions on your place. And they are absolutely under threat of death to their family. You see, a man will finally just blow it and say, shoot me. But that's not what this adversary does. This adversary shoots the family. So a lot of activity took place in that triangle area that Dr. Young has showed us many times. And when that goes, it is going to pull the area into this sink. It's also going to cause a response along those fissures all the way into LA. So you will have a lot of devastation. And you have now gone like 150 years beyond the stress point of that particular area. You're going to have a tremendous shake-up in that area. And it's now a year past due since the prediction said it was imminent. So I quit using the term imminent. But 29 Palms is in serious, serious trouble this day because that will be the trigger point out there. And Tonyos has got his eyes crossed watching it. Now, give me a little recognition, Dr. Young.
You're absolutely right, Commander. I will make 2 points now. First one is, as you study the what is called in the earthquake literature the Mojave map on the Internet, it comes out of UCLA with USGS data, you remember the cluster of quakes that created what we were calling a triangle around the Palm Springs area. What has happened in recent weeks, particularly within the last 2 or 3 weeks, has been, if you picture that area with Palm Springs in the middle, instead of just a triangular array of quakes around the Palm Springs area, there is now what I call paint splatter all through Palm Springs. It is as if you took a paintbrush and just threw splatters. The quake activity has increased so much that there is a consistent array of quakes throughout the entire region. It is no longer even along the specific fault lines that we were showing on what I call triangular lines around Palm Spring. The place is literally breaking up. So there's that piece of information. And moreover, there's the activity in the Palm Springs area. Again, if it triggers even the bottom end of that Elysian Park fault that Commander is talking about, you have a domino effect, because the Palm Springs quake will move the Elysian Park fault. The Elysian Park fault will then hit at its top end and trigger the faults and the heavy activity in the San Fernando Valley. Then the San Fernando Valley area quakes can come up over the mountains to us, but there will be other extenuating circumstances that prevent a lot of that. However, it will deflect up at what I call the triple junction point, where Gorman, Lebec, that area there occurs. There's about 5 fault lines that all cross, and that's where the energy will then run right on to the San Andreas Fault and proceed up to the northern end of California. The northern end of California in the San Francisco Bay Area is heavy, heavy with earthquake activity from approximately Monterey, a little bit south of Monterey, all the way up through the San Francisco area and up into the North Bay area going up towards San Rafael, and those of you who are familiar with the area north of San Francisco. That entire area is slipping very much, and as Commander called to my attention, I called it a bloody mess of dots on the earthquake screens several weeks ago, and that has not changed. The only thing that is different is that has become normal. And I don't know how long that kind of normalcy can occur before something big happens.
It can't stand it, because that's like just continual vibration on a corduroy road. At some point, your car gives up. It gives up its nuts and its bolts, and then finally it can't make it. Something is going to shake loose. I would like to talk a little bit more about some of these areas to the south of actually here, because some of those areas are, as I say, 100 to 150 years beyond their stress point of breaking in their usual pattern. And the stress shows. When those go, they don't just go 18 inches. They don't just go 18 feet, as you can expect in a San Andreas split. They go 75 feet at a jump to 100 feet. Now, L.A., that whole area along the coast, is feeding off of what comes across that San Andreas Fault.